All right. Once again, we are so happy to have Brother Sid and Sister Jessica speaking to us tonight, sharing some great testimonies. And one thing I want to say here is Brother Sid and Sister Jessica Murish and little Jessany have all been such a great blessing to our church. When I think of them, I think of someone that has a great attitude, a great spirit, that is always willing to help in any way that they can. And we still remember the great church yard sale that we had here several months ago. It was all spearheaded by Brother Sid. It was his burden, his desire. And as a matter of fact, these canopy tents that you saw on Mother's Day, on our Mother's Day parking lot service, they were provided by Brother Sid as well. Again, so helpful in any way that they can. We greatly appreciate them. And with that said, Brother Sid, I'm going to turn it over to you now, sir. And I believe he has a little special treat for us here for the next few moments. Hermano Sid, se lo doy a usted.
Gracias, hermano. Estoy muy bendecido estar aquí con todos.
Brother Sid said he's very happy to be here with everyone tonight.
Primero, quiero dar gracias al Señor por el pastor.
First of all, I want to give thanks to the Lord for our pastor.
Mi familia.
For my family.
Y la iglesia, que es familia de todos.
And the church, which we all are a part of this family.
Gracias a Dios. Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Hermanos y hermanas.
Brothers and sisters.
Primero quiero hablar de nuestra fe.
I want to speak about our faith.
Y paciencia.
And our patience.
Y que Dios nos da la seguridad que todo va a estar bien.
And that God is going to give us the assurance that everything is going to be just fine.
Amen.
Amen.
Gracias a todos y buenas tardes.
And thank you to everybody. Good evening. It's good to be here with all of you.
I would like to read from Matthew 21:22 first. And it says, and all things, whosoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And I know that most of us know this verse, and I believe it with all my heart. I know that having faith and being patient on God's time and giving your tithes is very important. I know some of you have heard this story before, but I would just like to bring it to you guys. And back in December of 2017, Jessica and I took a job in a warehouse. And Jessica was made manager, and I worked in the warehouse, and I was the primary driver for deliveries. And everything was going pretty good. We weren't paid very well, but we, you know, God provided, and we were able to get through the months, month to month. We were able to get through it. And as time went on, the company grew. And as the company grew, the odd thing about it was people were getting let go. And at one point, it was just Jessica and I working there. And that was it. Jessica was the manager, running all the paperwork and everything, and myself taking care of the warehouse and doing all the deliveries. In December of 2018, we had been there for a year. We were told that the company was doing so well that they were going to relocate to a bigger warehouse. And, we were excited about it. And, Jessica and I had decided that, we should ask for a raise, and we didn't ask for much, but we thought since the company had grown, especially under our watch, just the two of us, that we thought that it would only be fair. And That was in the beginning of December. On December 22nd of 2018, we were both fired 3 days before Christmas. They didn't like that we had asked for a raise, and there were some other promises and stuff that were made to us, but they were never kept. And, you know, it was heartbreaking to have that happen, knowing that we had built a company for this family. But, you know what, we kept a good spirit. We kept a really good spirit. And not only did we keep our good spirit, but we decided to not ask for unemployment, and we would try to just move on and keep a good spirit about it. And through all that, we had faith. We knew God was going to take care of us, regardless of what was happening. And, yeah, sure enough, 3 months later, Jessica got a job, and she was doing pretty well. She was making a little bit more than what she was. And a month after that, I got a job. And I do have to say, through all of this, we kept on our ties, regardless if we had a little bit or a little more. We gave. We had to give. We had to keep. It's not ours. We have to give back to what God has given us. And we definitely did that. So throughout this, I want you to know that we every month, every week, whatever it may be, we kept on our ties. So Jessica and I both got hired. We got jobs. And that was in April of 2018. And so we started doing better. We started realizing that financially things were better, and God was starting to bless us financially, and we were able to get out of some debt, and things seemed to be going better. A week before the month of May, I was talking to Jessica, and we had started looking around for a new place to live. Now, most of you have been to the old apartment, and you know how small it was. It was a little tiny cracker box. We absolutely loved it, but it was just too small, and it was time for an upgrade. So Jessica and I were looking on the internet, and we found a posting, and the posting looked too good to be true, and that's what I felt. But regardless, I inquired about it, and the next morning, sure enough, it was a scam. It wasn't what it was, and Jessica and I could tell we were a little bit down by it. And so that day, I told Jessica, let's get in the car, let's go get some ice cream, and we'll just drive, and maybe we'll find something. So there's a little ice cream shop up on Foothill. We started coming up Euclid, and as we're coming up, I see on the left-hand side, I see a sign that says house for rent. And I look at Jessica, I go, Jessica, that house is for rent. And we both looked at each other and said, it's too much. And I said, you know what, let's just go anyways. Let's just go check it out. You know, just curiosity. So we pull up, and there were people in here looking. And as we walk up, they're walking out. And we walk in, and the girl's in here showing the house, and we just start talking. And lo and behold, we could afford it. Everything was great. Everything was setting up. God put this whole plan in place And it was just amazing. Within an hour, we were in our house. And even the deposit for the house, the owner worked with us to make sure that we could get into this place. And it was such an awesome feeling. And we had faith that God was going to take care of us. And we felt good about it. And the thing was, we were patient. We waited 4 or 5 months. And when you wait, God's plan is always perfect. If you wait for his plan, it's always perfect. And on top of that, we paid our tithes. Paying our tithes is, I've absolutely seen the blessings come from it. You know, and we don't pay it, we pay it because we love God, we love our church, and it's what we need to do, and we're happy to do it, and we've seen the blessings come from it. And on top of that, you give your tithes. I've learned through all of this and the blessings, give. If it's to the church, to our fellow saints, or to someone on the street, I'd rather give a little something to someone on the street, knowing that God sees that, than me saying no and judging someone and God seeing that. And it's such an amazing thing. And the blessings, they don't stop. If you live right and you have faith and you be patient and give your tithes, that it's just one blessing after another. And I love everyone, and I miss all of you. And I want to say a special congratulations to Stephen and Vanessa and Matthias. It's so awesome that Matthias is finally here with us. And Stephen and Vanessa, if you're listening, I'm not going to read the scripture, but if you get a chance, read Proverbs 23:13. It's the best verse out there for children. It's absolutely one of my favorite verses. Jessamy doesn't like it, but I love it. I love all of you, and I'm grateful for the church and our pastor and everybody else. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Sid. That was a great, great testimony and a great surprise there at the end. I don't know if everyone knows that yet, but the Orels are real mom and dad now. This is exciting. And I believe Sister Jessica is ready as well. Are you ready, Sister Jessica? I believe Sister Jessica
Brother
is
Vic.
On the line.
Oh, can
there
you hear me, Brother Vic?
Yes, loud and clear. You sound great. Go right ahead, Sister Jessica.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Praise the Lord, Church. When Brother Vic had texted Sid and I to give a testimony devotion tonight, at first I started thinking about, maybe I should talk about how, God has spared my life from 7 years old, from a really bad lifestyle that I could have went with my dad being in a biker gang, and my mom's brothers being a part of a Mexican gang, and she was in the mix of all that. And I'm so grateful that God has spared me from those lifestyles from the age of 7 when my mom got in church and got saved. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight. I feel to talk about something a little bit different. and I feel it heavy on my heart. So I'm going to go ahead and begin. About 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I was living my best life for God. I was in communion with God every day. I was in prayer. And I was eating the meat and potatoes of this walk with God in the best way that you can. I was in prayer. I was involved in outreach. And I remember having many conversations with Sister Courtney saying, man, I'm just on this apostolic high. And I was living a very good life for the Lord. The day came when Brother Sid and I, our marriage began to encounter a storm. And during that time, I was fearful. I began to let fear in, and I was unsure of things. And the first thing I did was I noticed I wasn't praying like I need to. I stopped praying. And that's probably the first thing where I went wrong is you don't stop praying when you're going through a storm. You run to God even more, and you cling to him even more. But I stopped that. Second thing that happened was I stopped coming to church altogether. And Pastor Clark would call me, leave me messages. You know, Jessica, we missed you tonight at church. Give me a call. And I began to ignore my pastor's calls. And it wasn't long after that till I began to live a life in sin, thinking I was saving my marriage, thinking I was fixing my marriage. But all the while, I was doing the opposite. I found myself going to places that I never dreamed I would go, never thought I would visit. And just ungodly establishments. I did this for about a year. And I remember being at my sister's house one night visiting with family. My sister is also an apostolic Pentecostal. And her husband is a minister. And I was at their house, sitting at their dinner table one night. And I remember my brother-in-law looking at me square in the eyes, and he said, Jessica, serve God now while it's free. Don't let it cost you. And as he said that, I know there was truth to that. But for some reason, I just let it go in one ear and out the next. Little did I know those were words of prophecy. They were prophetic words to me that I should have heeded, but I didn't. 2 weeks later, it all started. Now, I've never really told this story. I don't think anybody in our church knows this story. I've hid it. I've just out of shame, out of embarrassment, but I don't think anyone knows. But I just feel to tell it tonight. So I am. I'm going to follow that feeling. So 2 weeks later, after my brother-in-law said to serve God now and don't let it cost me, 2 weeks later, me and Sid got dressed. It was evening time. We were going to go have dinner. And then we were going to go out for a night of fun. And we went to dinner. And as we were at dinner, I was sitting there eating my steak, chicken, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, I began to feel the life being sucked out of me. That's the best way I could describe it. I was sitting there at the table, and everything just started fading away. And I told Sid, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And as I began to go down to the floor, Sid and some wait staff helped me outside to get some fresh air. I was on the floor, could not breathe. My breathing was very shallow. I felt like everything was going dim around me. And all I could think of was my dear daughter, Jessamy. I thought my time had come to an end, and I thought I was dying, because that's how it felt. And I remember looking up at Sid and just telling him, tell Jessamy I love her. Tell her I love her, because I didn't think I was going to make it. And I remember saying a prayer in my head that night, and I said, God, if you spare me, I will get back to you. God, if you spare me, I will serve you, because I have a little girl that needs me to be what she needs me to be. She needs to be saved as well. And you know what? That night, God spared me. I was taken to the hospital. They couldn't find anything wrong, and I was released. But this feeling happened day in and day out. I dealt with it day in and I dealt with it day out. And I couldn't work. I was put off of work. I couldn't drive. I was near death's door constantly. So I began to see a lot of specialists about it. Went to my primary first. He couldn't figure it out, ran some tests, sent me to a heart doctor. Maybe it's a heart problem. Went through all the heart tests. They've even strapped me to a table one time and put some type of medicine in my veins that makes your heart race. And then they flip the table upside down to see if you can withstand it or not. After the heart doctor came a head doctor, a brain specialist. They ran all their tests. One particular test I remember, I was given an IV, and I think it was iodine was injected in me, and they needed to do a scan of my head. And when that happened, I immediately had a bad reaction to it and was throwing up for 2 days straight, couldn't even keep down water. But those tests came back negative. The heart doctor test came back negative. So far, no one could find anything wrong. So then I got sent to the next specialist. The next specialist was an ear specialist, and they checked all my inner ears. They did a bunch of tests on my ears. Then after that, there was nothing. Nothing. You're healthy. You're healthy. You're healthy. We can't find anything wrong. After the ears, then it was an allergist. Went to the allergist, went through all those appointments. Allergist couldn't find anything wrong. Then I went to a stomach doctor, got sent over there, went through all those tests. Nothing wrong. So I'm looking at the file. I've kept it, and it's all my tests that I had done during that time, and it was a span of 6 months. And the file is about 2 inches thick, full of paperwork. There's CD-ROMs in here with all my images. And at the end of the day, I was sent to a slew of specialists in a span of 6 months, but no one could find anything wrong. Everyone gave me a clean bill of health, but yet I was still dealing with this every day. It was it had limited my ability. It had limited my mobility. I couldn't stand for very long. I couldn't walk for very long, or else I would start feeling my life draining from me again. So it came, for me, it came to a point to where I was just desperate for an answer, and I was just looking for a diagnosis. So then at least, hey, we have a diagnosis. Let's move on with some treatment, something. I was looking for a hope somewhere. And one day I was in my living room, and I was just at my wit's end with all these specialists, all these doctors. And I remember sitting in my red recliner, and I felt so depressed. I felt so hopeless. I felt despair. And I remember crying out to God and saying, God, I've put all my faith in these doctors, and I've put all my hope in them. None of them know what's wrong, but God, you know what's wrong. I know you know what's wrong, God. And I made a vow to God that day. I cried out to him. I had hit rock bottom. And I said, God, I promise you from this day on, I am not going to see another specialist. I'm not going to find hope in another doctor, but I'm going to get back to you because you know what's wrong, and you're the only one that can heal me. So I knew I had to get back to God. During that time, God gave me the scripture, and it's 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. He gave me that scripture during this dark time, and I held on to it. So it was time for me to get back to God. So I was very embarrassed. I was very ashamed. I've let God down. These are my thoughts. I've let God down. I've let my church down. I've let my family down, my friends. I've let everyone down. I'm going to go back to you, God, but I'm going to go back to this church over here because I'm too ashamed to go home, God. I'm too ashamed to walk through those doors, God. So I began to attend another Apostolic Pentecostal Church, and I know it wasn't right. It didn't feel right. God was dealing with me. Go home. I knew it wasn't right. He wanted me home, and God literally impressed on me, go home to your pastor who has worked with you through the years, who has counseled you through the years. Be faithful to your pastor. So I kept fighting it because I was just too ashamed. I was too embarrassed. I couldn't go home. Well, there was a certain Wednesday, and I had only been going to that church for 2 weeks. And Wednesday rolled around, and it had been on my mind all day. Go to Ontario. Go home. Go to Ontario today. It's Wednesday. They have service. Go. I kept fighting it. But then confirmation came. Sister Rachel Macias called me, and I had not talked to her for the whole year and a half that I had been away. She called me that day to ask me a question, but little does she know, it was my confirmation because God had been dealing with me so strong already. It was my confirmation, and I said, you know what, God? Okay, I'm going, God. I'm going to stop kicking against the bricks, and I'm going to go. And I made up my mind, and I went. I went, and I was broken, I was ashamed, and I was embarrassed, but I got there. When I got there, Brother Bao really touched my heart because he had said that God had laid me on his heart to pray for me very strongly in a powerful way. And I thank God for praying saints. I thank God for obedient saints. I thank God for saints that know when God gives them something to strike while the iron is hot. That's the time to strike. If God gives you something, that's the time to strike. because the Lord knows what I needed, and he was able to use Brother Rao to pray on my behalf. While I was there, I started coming back, and within the first 2 weeks of being home, I was greeted by everyone so nicely. Of course, you beat yourself up more than it's really, you know, it really is. You know, you just, you have a lot of thoughts that go through your mind. But everyone was so welcoming. And I began to come back home and attend church. But I was still dealing with my sickness. And no one knew it. And there was times I was at church and I would feel it. And I just stuck it out. I said, God, I need you. I need you to heal me. I'm not going to go out those doors. And one day I was at the front in the altar, and I was sitting on the pew praying. And literally my mind, my thoughts were praying to God, God, am I going to live or am I going to die? Lord, is this the end of the road for me? And you've called me home so I can have my salvation before I go. And I was praying earnestly and sincerely to God for an answer. And at that time, a sweet sister in the Lord came over to me, and she whispered in my ear, and she said, thus saith the Lord, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. It is not the end, only the beginning. And that just gave me reassurance. God was speaking to me, and he used that sister. And thank you, sister. You know who you are. He used that sister to give me an answer to what I was looking for. So from there on, I began to find hope. I began to have a different mindset. The Lord says, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. And it's not the end, only the beginning. So I took that and I ran with it. And at that point, I also had a feeling that God was going to heal my body. And I knew, I just had an impression, it was not going to be an overnight healing, but it was going to be a slow healing. And I'm here to tell you today, he did it. He healed my body. To this day, I still don't know what was wrong. No one could tell me. But after being back home for 4 months, my little girl, Chesame, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that night, my heart was full because I know God was starting to heal my land, just like that scripture said. God's blessed our finances. 4 months ago, my husband, Finn, has received the Holy Ghost. And I just want to tell whoever is out there listening that may not be where they need to be in God, or they may be away from God, I just want to be an inspiration to you. I've never shared this story because I've always been so ashamed, but I think God's going to get glory for it. But I just want to be a ray of hope that God can heal your land too. God wants to sup with you. He wants to dine with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He just wants you to come home. Brother Vic, that's all I have. I know you asked if Jessamy wanted to say anything, and I had asked her, and she said that she didn't want to at this time.
That's quite all right, Sister Jessica. What a powerful, powerful testimony we heard tonight from both Brother Sid and Sister Jessica. And you know what, church, right now we feel the touch of God, the anointing with this great testimony and experience that Sister Jessica just gave us tonight. Why don't we just pray right now while we're feeling this touch of God? And why don't we thank God for everything we've heard. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Brother Sid and Sister Jessica Murish and little Jessamy as well. We thank you, God, for everything that they've gone through, Lord Jesus, but now they're a part of our church, and they're a great example, Lord Jesus, of a willing servant who's wanting to help in any way that they can. Thank you for the great spirit, for the great attitude, Lord Jesus. Thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord God. You know, church, I just want to say this real I won't make it too long, but we heard some powerful, heartfelt, and genuine testimonies tonight, but we also heard some instruction tonight. This is the second time we heard about tithing and the blessings that come with tithing in the last few weeks. We also heard that when problems in life came, Brother Sid said, we took a good spirit. I had to write that down. We took a good spirit. What does that mean? We chose. We made the decision to take a good spirit. What a powerful statement. And lastly, thank you, Sister Jessica, for sharing your personal experience with us and for reminding us that when we cry out to the Lord, He is merciful and He will respond. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Once again, thank you, Brother Sid. Thank you, Sister Jessica, for all the things that you've shared with us tonight. Church, continue to meditate and think about everything that Brother Sid and Sister Jessica talked to us tonight as we finish up tonight. As you go on your own tonight in your homes, be praying and meditate and think about everything that we've heard tonight. What a great, great testimony tonight. With that said, church, we want to remind everyone to meet us at this same line tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. where we will be hearing our morning manna devotion from Sister Sanders. God bless all of you and have a great night. Amen.